church. I like being in church. I didn't sit home when I was lost. I was kind of active. I got out and about and went all the wrong places. When I read in Romans 1, where Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek," it occurred to me that all those years riding with the motorcycle clubs with wearing colors and tattoos, and I wasn't ashamed to let people know what I loved, what I was willing to live for and die for. And I hadn't been saved very long, but I read that and I said, man, how ludicrous it would be to be ashamed of the gospel, to be ashamed of my Savior now. And it's a shame, but sometimes people were more excited about things and sometimes continue to be more excited about things that don't have anything to do with the Lord than they are the Lord. And it ought not be that way.
Amen.
And I'm glad that God put me. I'm not some spiritual giant. I'm glad that God put me in a place where other people that got saved hadn't gotten over it. Cause I don't ever want to get over it.
Amen.
It's a crying shame that it's possible, but it is. But I don't want to. That's why I got to stay around folks like y'all. And what a privilege it is to be here tonight. Take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 9. Familiar passage of Scripture. You know, I go to churches, and I'm a King James guy, and I go to our churches, and Bible-believing churches, and many are very familiar with the Word of God, but oftentimes a preacher will get in the pulpit. I'll get in the pulpit in a place, and I'll say something like that. This is a familiar passage, and as soon as I say it, I look at the people. I'm not sure if it is or not. And you can believe this book and wave it around, but I mean, the key is hiding in your heart.
Yeah.
Now, I say that to say this. I know that in this church, when I say that, I know that oftentimes for many of you, maybe most of you, it is true. I've been here during Sunday school many times now, and I know what you believe, and I know what you've been taught and preached. So when I say it's a familiar passage, I'm confident that it is.
Amen.
Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women," that's equal opportunity right there, "he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Amen. He is zealous, and he was zealous for his religion, and he thought he was doing right. Amen. And here we got him, light from heaven, verse 3, shined around about him, and this voice, and when he said, why persecutest thou me? Verse 5, and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Didn't he just identify who it is? Amen. He did not want to hear what he's about to hear. And the Lord said, "I am Jesus." Man, what do you think? He was zealous in persecuting men and women of that way. That's his way. And now he's been brought to a halt. He says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." He didn't say, "Is it?" or "Isn't it?" He said, "It is." And I mean, there is a witness in this world of the glory of Jesus Christ, and people work hard to ignore it. Amen. But at the end of the day, you're going to face the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm facing him as Savior, not Judge. Amen.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and he, that to be Saul, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Father, again, we come to you in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that we can assemble here in that name. Thank you, God, for the promise that you're in our midst. Father, I pray that you manifest yourself in a mighty way according to the needs of this people. Lord, I don't know them. I couldn't reach them, meet them if I did. God, we need you. We confess that. God, as we open your book, help us to commit it. Lord, commit ourselves to it. And please, may you be pleased with us when it's all said and done. And Lord, if there's anybody in here that's not saved, is not a Christian, I pray you convict their heart of that, Lord, so that they might be closer to being a Christian before the night's over. And Lord, I just thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit once again. And I pray all that's said and done and be to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, amen.
Amen.
So Paul says, I mean, it looks like literally minutes after he meets the Lord, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. He's got a company with him. He didn't say, what wilt thou have us to do? He said, me. And he got something right there. He got a hold of the fact this is personal. Amen. Amen. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal.
Amen.
And he said, what will I have you to do? And that tells me, now he's an intelligent guy, and it tells me that he had enough sense to know, I mean, after meeting the Lord, he had enough sense to know things are going to change. So that's what he said. I've got my agenda. I've got my skills. I've got my ideas. And now I guess I'll know. He said, what will thou have me to do?
Yeah.
And I just submit to you this. If you got what he got, you need to understand some things are going to change. Some things are supposed to change in your life. Now, on Friday morning, November 30th, 1990, about 6 o'clock in the morning, the trustee came down the aisle on the catwalk in the county jail, and he's hollering out for passing out meds to the prisoners that were taking pills. I was taking pills, but they weren't coming on a cart. Amen. And I wasn't on any medication, but I tell you what, you can't sleep through it. And I wake up, and I had a little Sony Walkman that's a little radio. Who knows what they have now? Amen. The only thing that had Bluetooth were... No, we won't go there. But, amen. And I turn it on, and the radio says the date. It said November 30th. And I'm sitting there 3 weeks after I heard the gospel, 3 weeks after I've been told that hell was real and a lake of fire would be the destination of sinners like me. And I remember thinking, thanks for cheering me up. And he said, November 30th, and that was the 10-year anniversary to the day one of the guys in my chapter of the club had been gunned down by a rival gang, blah, 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 behind my house. By a guy waiting for me behind my house. And he went in the alley before me and was murdered. And all of a sudden it starts sinking in that if what the Bible says is true, Ralph, his name was Ralph, had been in hell for 10 years. And largely because of my influence. At least I looked at it that way then. I had a lot to do with getting him in that alley that night. But I thought Ralph's in hell. If what that preacher said is true, Ralph's in hell, has been, and I'm going too. And that preacher showed me what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And that morning, I've said it here before, the best way I knew how, I asked the Lord to forgive me.
Amen.
Amen. I had enough honesty to admit I was a sinner. Amen. I had a doctorate degree. I was working on my second. I mean, I was a sure enough sinner. I wasn't one of them guys, well, yeah, I did this, but circumstances in my life and you know, the crowd. No, I had enough honesty. When that preacher said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I remember him saying, we're going to see what the Bible says about you guys in the jail service that I ended up in. And I thought to myself, this guy, he doesn't know me, obviously. He doesn't understand my life. And And he took that big old Bible and opened it up and went right to Romans 3:23 and says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I remember thinking, man, that didn't take long.
Amen.
You know, the deal is, people like me, people out there on the street, they know they're sinners.
Amen.
Amen. So when you get a chance to preach in a facility, juvenile or an adult lockdown, you say something like that and they'll know that that's right, and you just move right on to what Jesus did. Amen. It's church people you got to convince them they're sinners. Because they're the ones that are doing this, well, compared to so-and-so. That ain't how it works. You make it to Sunday school while Brother Brian teaches this thing on judgment, and you'll see you won't be compared to so-and-so. Romans 14:12 says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. That preacher said, you're a sinner. And I went, yeah, I'm a sinner. Amen. And then he went on preaching, and he talked about hell, and I had enough fear. I wasn't afraid of any man. But I had enough fear in me to know that if hell was real,
amen,
I wasn't tough enough for that. I thought I was a tough guy. I was a paratrooper in the army. I spent 15 years on the streets, and I'm talking about some mean streets. Amen. I'm talking about Detroit. I'm talking about Chicago. Amen. And I thought I was a pretty tough boy. And this is before I was an old gray-haired grandpa, like I know. Don't mess with me. I got friends. Amen. They're little, but they'll remember your name. Amen. Amen. And but I tell you what, that preacher preached what that Bible says about that rich man being tormented in flame and that lake of fire and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I thought, I'm not tough enough for that. Amen. I had enough fear, to be honest with myself about that. And I had enough faith to know. I had enough faith to know that. I mean, I heard it as a kid. I grew up in a Christian home. I didn't get saved in the 60s, in the early 70s, because I didn't want to miss out on some of the fun that was going on out there. Or so I thought. Amen. Join the army to get away from my mom and dad. I was tired of being told what to do. Sin will make a fool out of you. Amen. Amen. But I had heard all my life that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners. Amen. And that preacher preached, and he preached the cross and what Christ did. And I, that morning of November 30th, I bowed my heart. I mean, I got down on my knees next to my rack in a jail cell. I didn't care what anybody thought back then. That's why I don't care what anybody thinks now. But I laid that King James Bible, and I didn't even know there was any other kind. That's the one the guy gave me. And I laid down and I said, Lord, if what that book says is true, I got bigger problems than I thought. And if what that book says is true, Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for people like me to be forgiven. And if there's any way that could apply to somebody like me, I want in on it.
Amen.
And I asked for forgiveness.
Amen.
And I got it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I got a lot of regrets in my life. I got so much stinking garbage in my head. I can't even close my eyes when I pray. I fully agree with Brother Brian when he said this morning, best case scenario is get saved young. I'm talking about get locked in and make up your mind you're going to live for God.
Amen.
You'll do more for God than people like me ever will, and you won't have the baggage and the scars and the junk. But with that being said, and even I have regrets since I got saved, as I've grown in the Lord, but I have never for one second regretted that morning when I bowed my heart to God. And believe me, I had no idea what I was getting in on. I was locked up. I did never think I was going to make bond. I never thought I was going to make probation. I sure never saw this coming. Believe that. Amen. What a ride. I think I said that before. But I am so glad to be saved, and I've never regretted getting saved. And I made a call. I got a call in to the church. Amen, that came and preached, and I knew who they were because they gave me a Bible and a little letter. And I was probably the last person that preacher ever dreamed he'd hear from. And when he came to the jail that somebody had requested a visit, he didn't know who it was. He didn't know which one of us it was. I had all this hair and all this stuff. And he came in, and I'm like on the phone, and he's the glass, and he walked in, and his eyes got about that big. He didn't expect to hear from me. He was scared to death I was going to murder him in the service. And he looked at me, and I said, "I did what you said." Amen. He said, "What?" I said, I asked the Lord to save me. By then, it had been 4 or 5 days. I've been reading my Bible, and I said, I did what you said. He couldn't believe it. I asked him a question. I said, "What do I do now?" Yeah. That's what Paul said. "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" I get it. I resemble that remark.
Yeah, amen.
And I said to that guy, I said to that preacher, I said, "What do I do now?" And he really didn't. He was, like I say, he wasn't even prepared to deal with me. I mean, I'd been on the news for a month. I'd been on in the newspapers. I was kind of notorious. I know it's hard to believe. And so he's like, "This is the guy." And I said, he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Okay, now I'm forgiven. What do I do now? All my friends are criminals." They were. He said, I said, "Everything I'm good at is illegal." So when I said, "What do I do now?" I said, "All my friends are criminals." And he took his Bible and he opened it, and he mumbled the words to himself as he read 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He wasn't really talking to me, but he was speaking, and I could hear him, and he said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Amen.
And he looked up at me, and he says, "Looks like God's going to have to give you some new friends." And it was as simple as that to him. He didn't give me his thoughts. He didn't give me his opinion. He didn't give me something he learned in sociology class about how to deal with people. He just opened his Bible and gave me a Bible answer. And that's what people need.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll tell you, hey, he was right. Because God did give me some new friends.
Amen.
I made bond 3 weeks later. Amen. 95 grand, but my friends had money. They just expected me to come back to their world, and I knew I couldn't. So it was a blessing when the federal government put a no association stipulation on my bond. I can't come back. And I didn't want to go back. I didn't even know why. I know why now. God changed my heart. He didn't make a wimp out of me. He didn't make a rat out of me. He made a man out of me. Because I'll tell you what a man does. He takes responsibilities for what he does wrong. And boy, I put a plea in. I put in a note to my lawyer. And I said, "You tell them that I'm withdrawing that not guilty plea. And I'm ready to face the music." And I was so glad I wasn't going to hell. That prison was no big deal. The Lord had other plans.
Amen.
That preacher said, "It looks like the Lord's going to have to give you some new friends." And when I made bond, I got on a Friday night. I did what 90% of the people that get saved in jail say they're going to do and don't do. They all say, "Yes, I'll be in church." And most of them don't come. I don't know if that's been your experience here, but it's been my experience in the other 49 states. I did what nobody had done up to that point at our little church. I came on Sunday morning to thank the people for praying.
Amen.
And I knew I was coming to church, so my clothes were clean, and I had a ponytail, and hair, I was cleaned up as good as tattoos were all covered. I was looking, amen. But here's what I'm saying. That was a little Baptist church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, and God gave me some new friends. And what I'm saying is this. He put me in a place where people were more concerned about what I had done with Jesus Christ than how I looked or what it said on the news or what I'd been accused. They were rejoicing with me.
Amen.
That I, and I didn't expect that. And lost people come into our midst, they don't expect that. They don't know how they're going to be received. You invite people. You want people to come. Amen. And they're thinking, "Oh, man, this church is full of goody two-shoes that never did nothing wrong." If they only knew.
Amen.
We are a bunch of sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And how they're received.
Amen.
may be the determining factor whether they ever come back or not. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And I'm glad God gave me some new friends in a little church where people opened up the Word of Life, the King James Bible, and showed me what it said. And I mean, it made it so interesting. I mean, they couldn't run me off. A lot of times we have guys that get saved, or gals too, from Rough Side Alive, and you hope they stay, and you hope they make it, and you know what God wants to do with them and the victories that are available, and they just can't seem to break the ties. Me, man, I knew a good thing when I saw it. And I've seen a lot of people come and go in my 32 years. But I'll tell you, by the grace of God, Lord willing, I ain't leaving.
Amen.
Amen. Paul's question was, what will thou have me to do? And what I tried to get across is the fact that I remember asking that question. What do I do now? And that'd be tonight's title. What do I do now? And if you've ever asked that, or asked anyone, or had anybody ask you that, maybe a couple things tonight I'll give you, will help lay it out for you. Second Peter chapter 1. Go there. I'm taking a long time on purpose because what I've noticed is you guys don't go home after church anyway. So I don't feel pressed, you know. I mean, we're here to get in, not get out, right? If you have to leave, you know, I'll talk about you right as soon as you leave. Sorry, now I won't. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this. Well, let's read verse 4. I really like verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. If you're saved, you have a new nature.
Amen.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Boy, that sums it up, doesn't it? And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's where you start. Getting saved is where you start. Amen. That's the ground floor, man. That's where you build. Amen. Don't be satisfied with just being saved. Get in all the way. It says add to your faith. And it says here, add to your faith virtue. Number one tonight, eliminate evil. Amen. What do you do now? You're newly saved. What do you do now? Eliminate evil. Okay? Add to your faith. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue means, it basically defined as moral goodness. Not something you're going to be encouraged to pursue in the world that we live in today. Moral goodness. Amen. Out there, the rule of thumb is, if you can get away with it, anything goes. And if you can't, don't worry, there's people going to try to keep you from getting away with it. And then you might get saved in jail like I did. Amen. I tell policemen, when I get a chance to witness to policemen, I'll say, thank you for what you do. I know what kind of idiots you deal with, because I used to be one. And by then, I can usually get them a track in their hand, because they're not used to being complimented. But I'm sincere about it. I got a church in Nashville that had me preach Law Enforcement Appreciation Sunday for 3 years in a row. Amen, the outlaw. And I'd come down on the pulpit, and I'd have the policeman stand. We had six of them there, Nashville police officers, SWAT team there, one of them. And I walked up to every one of them, and I said, thank you for what you do. And I shook their hand. And I'm talking about, I got guys that are facing the scariest thing out there on the street at tears in their eyes because somebody appreciates them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And so, you need to learn to eliminate evil. I don't know where I was going with that, but it was fun, wasn't it? I mean, did it help any? I don't know why the Lord makes me tell on myself, but he does. Add to your faith, virtue. Moral goodness is in short supply outside of the Church of Jesus Christ, that's for sure. And so elimination is a process. Generally, you've heard of the process of elimination, and you eliminate evil just like every other process, basically one step at a time. Amen. Believe me, I had multiple levels to address. And so I had a Bible teacher, and he said this. He gave me some good advice one time. He said, Brother Dave, I know this is hard for you guys to believe, but I was kind of rough around the edges at first. So this is 32 years, so you can't imagine. And He said, go into a room, take a room in your house one at a time, and go into that room and get on your knees, by yourself, get on your knees and ask the Lord sincerely, Lord, show me anything in this room that's going to hinder my spiritual growth. And I didn't even, so I took it, I did it just like that. And one time there was some magazines and there was some material, and another time it was music, and another time it was, and the list goes on. But amen. I mean, you just don't, it's a process. Growth is a process. Amen. And so you gotta eliminate evil, and to eliminate evil, evil is not subjective. Well, I think, yeah, that's your problem sometimes. You do too much thinking and not enough just saying, yes, Lord. I'm telling you that to eliminate evil, you're going to have to identify it. Let me see. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13 says this, for everyone who useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Amen. Good and evil are not subjective to God. He's got very definite ideas about it. And good and evil is never based on your viewpoint. I've heard people say, well, I don't have a conviction about this, and I don't have a conviction about that. And that may very well be so, but I'm telling you the truth. What I've learned in some cases, you don't have a conviction about something because you don't have enough of a relationship with the Word of God to even know right from wrong.
Amen.
Amen. That's not just a little catch-all phrase that really translates into, bless God, I can do whatever I want. And that's the way Christians want to try to live in this day and age. My Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord does not give you the liberty to do whatever you want. Here's why. That's what lost people do. That's what I did all them years. I did whatever I wanted. The presence of the Spirit of the Lord will enable you to do something a lost person can't do. And that's live for God. That's live pleasing to God. And we can't. But if you're ever going to do that, you're going to have to learn to live, eliminate evil. Perch said one time, I don't have a conviction about that. And I thought to myself this, Holy Ghost convictions are what makes Bible Christianity real. You listen, when you got saved, the Spirit of God moved into you, and if you'll ask Him to guide and direct and show you things in your life that may be good for you or may be bad for you, and if you're willing to address it, you will mature as a child of God. You will draw nigh to God. But sometimes people just want a list of rules, and if they don't like the rules, they throw out the list. And this thing is, we're part of a living organism. We're the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I understand that through the years, people have put way too much emphasis on some things that the Bible doesn't.
Right.
I get that. I don't like that any more than anybody else. But I'm going to warn you, don't be careful about throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Do you understand what that means? That's a saying that I heard as a kid. Don't throw out all the good just to get rid of the bad. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something that'll hinder your ability to do anything for God, to be pleasing to God, to be used of God, is not getting stuff out of your life that God doesn't like.
Right.
And so, well, how do you know? I'm so glad you asked. That's why He gave us a Bible. Amen. So we're talking about eliminate evil according to the Word of God. Amen. Don't worry, I got more. And it says, once you identify it, it says in Romans chapter 12, in verse number 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. All right. I get evil, I understand good, but what does abhor mean? So I looked it up. I looked it up. It means this, to hate extremely. We're supposed to not just identify evil according to the parameters given us in the word of righteousness, we're to hate it.
Amen.
Quit tolerating it. You know why Christians don't hate evil? Because they know that if they take a stand too hard, somebody will take a stand Amen. Against what they're doing. So we kind of developed this idea, well, I'll tolerate yours if you tolerate mine.
Amen.
And next thing you know, the screen comes down and kumbaya's up there. You hear me? Because there won't be no Holy Ghost preaching no more. Because we don't want to step on toes. It's really quiet in here. And you know what I've learned as an evangelist? That's a good thing sometimes. Because I didn't come here to entertain. I'm trying to help you. Amen? Watch what... I'm going to show you something I learned on the road. If you've never seen this... Watch this. I like this. Amen, Brother Spurgeon! That's right. You got to learn amen yourself sometimes. Amen. I will, too. I will. Because I got to get one out of my wife sometimes. Amen. So you need to learn to hate sin and quit making excuses for it and quit tolerating it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It doesn't say abstain from evil. Amen. It says abstain from all appearance. That takes you out of the equation. That takes, well, I don't think, I don't see, I don't agree. That takes you, if it could be taken wrong, it will be.
Amen.
That's Murphy's Law for the Christian. If it could keep your testimony from being a blessing to Jesus Christ and maybe having an influence on somebody else, amen, it will be. You need to abstain from all appearance of evil. Amen. This isn't about, well, I think, I know, that's why we got in trouble. We thought, oh, that fruit looks good, I think I'll have a bite. But God said, yeah, but I think, and here we go. Did you get all that?
Yes, sir.
It, good, because it wasn't in my notes, but let me write it in for next time. Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, be not overcome with evil, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You gotta eliminate evil. You gotta identify it. You gotta learn to hate it. Your flesh may not want to go along with that. I guarantee it. But you gotta do it anyway. And then you need to overcome it, with good. And when you're tempted with evil, and you will be, make no mistake about it. It says in James chapter 1 and verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's pretty serious indictment. Amen? And I'm happy to be able to report that you do not, even though you're tempted, the Bible says every man is tempted, you do not have to be drawn away of your own lust. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, 1 Corinthians, I wrote it down wrong, but it's 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not tempt you to be, will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Amen. There's a way to escape evil, and it's overcome evil with good. Not Google. I call Amazon Santa Claus, and I call Google the Wizard of Oz. Because, I mean, there was a time where we could have a discussion, and a question would come up, and somebody might be provoked to go to the library or look in their encyclopedias, and maybe the next time you have a conversation, you know, you might have a solution. Now, I mean, somebody said, I wonder how tall the Verrazano Bridge is. And I mean, without even putting the phone on the table, people are, I've had this happen. So, and, oh, 625 feet. I'm going, man, that, the wizard knows everything. I mean, I haven't seen the Wizard of Oz for probably 65 years. Amen. Was that around then? I mean, when I was a little kid. But isn't that how it worked? There's somebody behind the curtain. You know who that is, don't you? You know who's behind the curtain, don't you?
Amen.
He's getting ready to make a debut. Now, if I'm reading my Bible right, I'm going to see him in the rearview mirror because we're on our way out.
Amen.
But we need to ask God. We need to overcome evil with good. All right, we're through that one. That was not popular, I see. That's okay. Number next. What are we number on? Well, number two. Take your Bible, go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The Bible says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Can I get an amen at least right there?
Amen.
I mean, I got one from the book. Amen. Number one is eliminate evil. Number two is endeavor to grow. Endeavor to grow. Amen. You just don't, like I said, faith, getting saved by grace through faith is where you start. But that's a blessing of being in a church right like this, where people are opening up the Bible and studying the Bible. I feel sorry for people. They go to church and every Sunday they're in the same salvation message, and every midweek they're just singing songs. And I've heard of that. I've not experienced it much because God did for me what he did for many of you. He put you in a place where people open the book, and the Bible says committed to faithful men and women. And that's a blessing. I don't think that other kind of Christianity would have held my attention this long. But this does. And I want to grow. And the longer I'm saved, the more I realize that I need to learn.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Amen. So, now I'm no farmer, but let me tell you some things I believe are right. To grow, you got to be in the right soil. Amen. I mean, everybody doesn't have a black thumb like my wife, right? You know, you hear about green thumb, you know, people that plant stuff, but everything she plants dies. I don't buy flowers. Amen. It might be on the road that maybe because we're on the road, and amen, I'll probably hear about that later, but amen. I was struggling for an illustration, honey. You'll be all right. Don't worry. Amen. But to grow, doesn't it make sense? You got to be in the right soil.
Amen.
So Matthew 12 addresses that in verse 23. He that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it. And that's good ground. That's the right soil. And Mark said it like this in chapter 4 and verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. And Luke said it like this in chapter 8 and 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Now, if you're going to grow, endeavor to grow. If you're going to grow, I mean, listen, I guess I wasn't taking into account YouTube. I wasn't taking into account sermon audio. Amen. When I say you got to be in the right soil, I mean, you need to be in a place where you can hear the word, where you can understand the word, where you can receive the word, and where you can keep the word.
Amen.
And God has set up the local church. Amen. There's so many reasons that this is important. The fellowship is important. The Bible's important. There's things you can, maybe you're real smart and you can read through the Bible every 3 months, and you can listen to messages 10 times a day driving around. Maybe you can do all that, but you'll still cut yourself short. That Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You're not going to get exhorted off of YouTube. Amen. You're not, iron sharpeneth iron. You're not going to get sharpened if you're the only one in your world, in your truck, at your house. It's just you and your wife having discussions. Have you ever noticed that book says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked? Heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can? Have you ever noticed people can talk themselves into anything?
Amen.
That's why God set this thing up.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm glad God put me in a good church, and I value it. And God put you in a good church too.
Amen.
I know, because I come and preach here, and it ain't nothing to do with me. It's because I know what you do here. That's why we feel at home here. Amen. All right, so to grow, you need to be in the right soil. And the right soil is where the word is understood and received and kept. And to grow, you also, I'm pretty sure, is this true? You need light. You need plenty of light. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. See, there's hope for all of us. Amen. The entrance of thy word giveth light. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Light of life. far as I know, only there's only a couple of things that flourish, that grow in the dark. Now, one of them would be mold, right? And mildew.
Yeah.
And bacteria. Bacteria. Those things aren't good, are they? Don't tell me if they are. Let me see. There's one more thing that flourishes in the dark. What is it? Oh yeah, that's right. Sin.
Amen.
Yeah, it says in John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Amen. People used to say to me, do you ever run into your old friends? And the reason I don't is because when I got saved, I went on the Jehovah Witness Protection Program. Some of you will get that in a minute. Or not. Amen. Now, I don't run into my old friends because my lifestyle before was, I mean, when it started to get dark, that's when we started coming alive. And we'd hit the streets and we didn't come in until dawn. I didn't think about it like this, but we were kind of like vampires. Amen. It's getting dark. Let's go out and have a good time. Oh, the sun. No. Amen. And, when I got saved, I went on first shift. You follow me? I go to bed at a decent hour. I get up at a decent hour. Amen. And I don't run into my old friend. Men love darkness. I love darkness. Yeah. Amen. Amen. My deeds were evil. Now I want to do right. Amen. I asked the guy, what do I do now? He says, eliminate. He didn't say it, but eliminate evil. And then, don't you be satisfied. There's a vacuum, theology, philosophy, something like that. You get stuff out, you better fill it with something.
Yes.
Or your flesh will go back to filling it with what it likes.
Amen.
So you endeavor, to grow. Amen. And so, it says, our verse said in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in knowledge. So, evidence that you're growing in grace, I'm going to boil it down for you. It's learning to have patience with others while they grow in grace.
Amen.
See, the natural tendency is you get a little Bible in you and you get a little victory and then you start looking around judging people. And the preacher did a good job this morning addressing that. And you need to grow in grace because that's exactly the wrong fruit. Amen?
Amen.
And the evidence that you're growing in knowledge, it said in Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. If you're growing in knowledge, you're sinning less.
Yes, amen.
Amen. It says, great peace, Psalm 119, 165, and great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
It's amazing to me, on the street, people get mad at each other, they fight, they do horrendous things to each other, then they sober up, they get over it, they go back in and drink together. I lived that life 15 years. Then I got saved, and I found out that people that claim to be Bible believers, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you offend another brother, you offend a Christian, you say something about, and buddy, you'll make an enemy for life. And which is interesting, because the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. Do we love thy law? Do we love the Bible? Amen. Some of you are afraid to nod, you know, you might as well, because, amen. And, but sometimes it seems like Christians are most easily offended people in the world. I don't want to be like that.
Amen.
My flesh doesn't mind.
Amen.
Because my flesh is like yours. It thinks the world revolves around me. But it doesn't.
Right.
It revolves around him.
Amen,
amen and amen. So, that love thy law, thy word have I hid. All these things just seem to come back to what? They all come back to the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. That's a key to the whole thing. Saul asked the Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And if you've ever asked that, and I have, number one, eliminate evil. And number two, well, endeavor to grow. And number three, Philippians 4. Go there, Philippians 4. And verse 4. And the Bible says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice.
Amen.
I may have said this here before. A dear friend, well, we weren't that good of friends. He was a hero, and I was a new Christian. But he took some time with me, and he happened to be a Texan, too. And his name was Jack Wood. And he pastored about 200 miles from here, Shady Acres Baptist Church. Now, this fella was a heroin addict, and he was a crook. And he was a horse thief. He was a sinner. And he got saved. He got saved, and he sold out. And he spent the next, let me see, he got saved in the early 50s. He spent almost 50 years trying to reach downer outers over there in Houston. Amen. And he was a friend of sinners. And I got introduced to him 3 weeks out of jail. And I'm down at a place down in Georgia my pastor took me to. And he come and looked at me, had a cowboy hat on, and he tilted it back. He is in his late 70s, or early 70s then. And he tilted his hat back and he said, "What is your story, son?" Because for some reason, I was easy to pick out of a crowd. I don't know if it was the black shirt, the black tie, the black leather coat, the black jeans. I think I had black hair. This is before I met her. And I even had black hair. No. And my preacher used to say, "David, I'll be glad when you quit dressing like Paladin." Amen. Some of you remember that, don't. Some of you don't. But he says, "What's your story?" I said, "I got saved in jail, Brother Wood. And my preacher brought me down here to learn how to be a Christian." And that was the right way to say it. I didn't have all this Christian lingo. He brought me down there to be around men for a week that had come from all walks of life and got saved at different stages of their life, but had sold out. Amen. And were going to live for God. And he brought me down there to put me around some good examples.
Amen.
And Brother Jack said something to me, and I mean this was over 31 years ago, and he said something to me that I never forgot. And he says, "Don't try to endure Christianity." Which at the time I thought was kind of strange, because I've been in church, you know, 3 weeks, and I thought Christians were all, if you saw the world that I came out of, you would understand why I thought Christians were all perfect. That's called the honeymoon period. He knew that I was going to run into some things and see some things that we're still people, ain't we? And he said, "Don't try to endure Christianity," because people get blown away when things don't happen the way they think or they're done wrong. And he said, "Don't try to endure it. Just learn to enjoy it. Learn to enjoy Jesus. Learn to enjoy your Christianity."
Yes.
I understand there's rough times. I understand trials. You've been through them. We've been through some. There may be more to come. Probably will be. I don't want to switch to doom and gloom right now. Amen. But like Stephen said, you know, we're not there yet. The time for rest, the time for no problem, that's coming. Amen. And I'll tell you what, 90% of the world can't say that. We know that. Amen. We need to learn to enjoy Christianity. I run into people every week that are enduring it. And they're saved and they believe the Bible and they're faithful to church. And but man, the joy of the Lord is not their strength. And I try to go in and do my job and stir them up a little bit. And sometimes the Lord lets us do that. But could I say enduring Christianity is a miserable way to live? I think Brother Jack said that to me because he probably perceived that I didn't have the character to endure it. Because when I get disillusioned, I'm gone. I'll go. We used to say this, children, how did we say it? Children, outlaws are like children. I was an outlaw. Outlaws are like children. They're easily amused, but they have a short attention span. So you're always looking for something new. That's what kids are. You give them something on there on Christmas. Well, we won't go there. But amen. Did I say the C word? I didn't mean it. Don't worry. Amen. I already said Baptist once. Twice now, I guess. Amen. Come on. Lighten up. Enjoy it. Enjoy your Christianity. Bible says in Psalm 144 and verse 15, "Happy is that people..." that is in such a case, yes, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. If you're not enjoying your Christianity, and I'm not saying this is some phony baloney pie in the sky, everything's always wonderful, but you know, if you're not going to hell, there ought to be something to be happy about. Amen. And usually Christians that struggle year in and year out with enjoying their Christianity, it usually is boiled down to sin in their life. You hear me? That's what it boils down to. Bible says this, therefore, James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me just say something to you. If that's you tonight, could I encourage you to get that fixed? It says in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart,
amen,
O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that's part of, I mean, revival like this has got a lot of reasons, encourage and help people mature in the Lord and encourage, you know, comfort people that are going. But part of it is to get fixed up in areas that need some spiritual attention. You might be saved, but let me tell you something. Here's how I know that everybody that goes to revival meetings here or anywhere else is not as right with God as they could be. Because if they were, we could just have singings. We still need preaching.
Amen.
And you don't, I know people that struggle to get it. They got a terrible spirit and they're trying to get a right spirit. And I'm trying. No, it says create in me a clean heart. And you got to do things in God's order.
Amen.
And a clean heart comes by confessing whatever it is that needs to be gotten right.
Amen.
And we got areas, don't we?
Yep.
So I would suggest, if that's you, if that's what needs to be addressed, the verse goes on in Psalm 51, says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Amen. So the question tonight, my question, the title, what do I do now? So the answer for somebody might be to repent of some evil. You need to do some soul searching. Amen. You all look very nice and spiritual to me. But I'm not the one that's looking on the heart.
Amen.
And I'm not the one that directed this message to be preached. I checked in with my boss on this. And there's probably something said tonight that somebody in here needs to take real seriously.
Amen.
And I would encourage you to do that. And maybe somebody needs to get back in the book. Or get in the book. That is really the next phase. To endeavor to grow is avail yourself to the words of life.
Amen.
And you know what? In this busy world, you know that it's no secret that this world and the devil's the god of it is keeping us too busy, that prayer and Bible is the first thing that goes by the wayside. And sometimes all we can do to come to church, but that's not all you can do.
Amen.
You better make time. You better make time to open that book.
Amen.
You better make time to pray.
Amen.
And if those are things that have kind of gotten pushed aside, and it happens, and I'm sure it's the case here tonight with some. Amen. It's the case with me sometimes.
Yes.
It's just how it is. But let's address it.
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something, can I say it that way? When the Holy Spirit bears witness, let me find some spiritual language. Act on it.
Amen.
That's when you want to act on it. Amen? All right? And then, well, some Christians have a sincere conflict of interest with the things of this world that keeps the joy of the Lord from being their strength. And maybe somebody in here needs to let the Lord, ask the Lord to help them sort that out. It's crying shame, but we've seen this. People let COVID and politics and elections or some person rob them of their joy. And Jesus Christ never did anybody wrong. And the joy of the Lord is our anchor, our strength. And yeah, I get it, man. The cares of this life are very real. But we're talking about reconnecting this week, this time, with our spiritual roots, our Heavenly Father. And we need to address whatever needs to be addressed. And you're going to have to search your own heart to do that. And I'll say this before I get down, sit down, do whatever it is I do. Maybe what do I do now is not the question that needs to be asked. Maybe the question needs to be asked for somebody in here tonight is serve. What must I do to be saved? If you're in here tonight and you've never been born again, you've never been forgiven, I mean, on a spiritual level, amen? You've never asked Jesus, you never got a hold of fact. Well, the Bible says this, and the answer to that question in Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And then it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. It's not as easy as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what you do. But they said that, and then they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Amen. That he introduces them to Jesus Christ. The Bible said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, I'm speaking unto you the word of the Lord. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's the answer to the question. What must I do to be saved? You need to get a hold of the fact that you are a hell-deserving sinner, and Jesus Christ went to the cross to make a way for you to be forgiven. It's the best deal in town.
Amen.
And if you've never availed yourself to that, this would be a good night. This would be a good place.
Amen.
There's people around this room. If you're in here tonight and you know somebody in here that's not saved, you need to be praying fervently for them right now.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And that doesn't let you off the hook with the other things I told you to pray about your own relationship. Pray about getting your joy back. Pray about growing. Pray about getting things back the way they should be. Maybe with your Bible. Getting evil out. But boy, at the end of the day, wouldn't it be good to see somebody get saved?
Amen.
Think the Lord liked that?
Amen.
I got a Bible that says he likes that. I know I like that. Pedro got saved Friday night, and let me tell you something. I can run a long time on one soul getting saved. That floats my boat, buddy. That's as close as you can get to getting saved yourself. Did you know that? I guess that doesn't matter as much if you've lost the joy of your salvation.
Yeah.
But if you'd get that back, get whatever's hindering that back, maybe you'd see the potential to be the witness that you could and should be.
Amen.
And then it just keeps, you know, keeps your battery charged. Does mine. Let's all stand. What do I do now? That was a question I asked, and the preacher said, well, God's going to have to give you some new things. And he did, and he did me. And I'm glad he did. So that whoever's coming, come. Stephen, and if you need to come, you need to pray, do it. Let's do it. Let's make use of the few minutes that we have left to do business with God. But I want to say again, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, let one of us open the Bible.
Amen.
Show you what it says. Amen.
Amen. You can turn to 381. There's something to be said about having a private relationship with Jesus Christ. I think every one of us needs to privately, right, pray at our house, in our closet. We need to privately, I think we should be on our knees at some times of the day, just praising Jesus Christ wherever we are. And not to minimize that, but there's also a time for a public response.
Yep.
You know, the Bible teaches us many times when Peter and the apostles, they preached on Pentecost, at the end of that message, I mean, people were saying publicly, what do we do? What do we do? And there was an expectation of a public response. It's time to repent. It's time to be baptized. It's time to do something with what you just heard.
Amen.
There's something about a public response. And also, there's something about a timely response. Hebrews tells us today, if you will hear his voice, he says, harden not your hearts.
Yeah.
If God has spoken today, and you know, the preacher's preaching, and I'm sure God is speaking to each one of us. I know some of us are dealing with something. We're thinking about something. God is working on us in some area. Well, if God has spoken to you, today is the day. Don't harden your heart.
Amen.
And this is an opportunity to, if you want to do it there where you are, you're welcome to do that. Of course, get right. Well, deal with whatever God is dealing with you. But if you want to publicly come and tell God that you're willing to answer whatever he's asking of you, then this is the time. And that's why we have this opportunity right now. Let's go ahead and sing number 381.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith.
Jesus, you are worthy of our praise.
Amen.
You're worthy, Lord, because you are good. You are loving towards us. Oh, even while we were sinners, Lord, you gave your life to save us from our sins.
Amen.
We thank you for it, Lord. And you own our bodies, Lord. You own our soul. We want to come before you, Lord, and we ask that you would speak to us the rest of this conference, Lord. Every night, Lord, we ask that you would open your word and you would give us what we need to hear. We want to invite you in, Lord. We want your spirit to move among us and we want to be receptive, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you would do mighty works through
Amen.
Us, Lord, and with us. We want to preach to others. We want to see souls saved. And Lord, we just ask that you would use us to spread your light, Lord, to the world.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we ask that you would take each one of us on our way with safety, Lord. Take care of us. As we seek you, Lord, we ask that you would guide us with your spirit. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon our lives. We thank you, Lord. You are worthy of everything in our life. And we give it to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just an announcement, just to remember, anybody going back on Highway 90, I heard it was closed.
At 9 o'clock.
It closes at 9 o'clock, so let's go. No. No, just keep that in mind as you're headed home. Have a good night. See you tomorrow.